Welcome to The Gathering. I'm lead pastor Matt Miofsky, and I'm really glad that you're tuning in to listen to today's message. Before we get into it, I just want to remind you, you may be listening to this as you're walking or driving in your car. That doesn't mean that we can't connect. If you text this phone number, 314-451-2090, again, that's 314-451-2090, I'll get back to you and offer you some ways to connect to our church. Part of that will be for me to give you an invitation to Next. I love this event. Once a month, I host Next, and it's just a time for me to share a little bit more about the story of the church, for us to get to know each other, for me to answer any questions. I do it both live, in person, and virtual, so you can join wherever you live. So I really hope that you'll text that number. I'll make sure that you get that invitation. Now, as we jump into today's sermon, don't forget to like this, subscribe to it, review it if you are listening to this on a podcast, share it with someone that you think would be interested. Anytime that you engage with us, that way it just helps us to get the word out about what we're doing. Now let me pray for you as we get into the message. Holy God, wherever we are today, whatever we're going through today, we believe you have a word for us, that you have something that you want us to hear. So open our ears, open our hearts, that we may hear from you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, anytime I'm facing like a challenge in my life, like I sense it coming on, I think most of us have sort of a tension there. You know, on the one hand, we can often face those times by just being optimistic. Stay positive. It's not a big deal. Life's going to be fine. And the other tension is to want to confront it, to just accept that there's a challenge present, that there's a hard reality that we need to face and begin facing it. Now, I know for me, I sense for most of us, I oftentimes am pulled to just doing the first, kind of ignoring it, staying positive. But oftentimes, the second is what I need. Like, confronting the hard truth is the best way to get through it. It doesn't do us any good to be optimistic if being optimistic is to ignore the realities that are right in front of us. In fact, oftentimes, the longer we ignore, the greater the disruption those things can cause in our life. Today, we're continuing a sermon series I started it last week called Disrupted, Living in Exile. And what we're doing is we're studying the biblical story of exile. This is a story of the Jewish people being conquered by the Babylonians and taken out of their homeland to have to live in exile in a foreign land. And I've chosen this story because, for me, it gets at what 2020 feels like to me. 2020 feels like an exile. It's like we are taken out of normal, out of predictable, out of certainty, away from kind of home, what that feels like. And we're living in the midst of really an unknown land. And I think by studying this story, we get a sense of how we can best live in the middle of this disruption in our lives. And so last week I started by talking about just the period kind of leading up to the exile, where the Jewish people had almost grown a little arrogant about the life they were living. They just began to expect that good things would always be there. And they lost a sense of kind of humility or appreciation for the uncertainty of life, the fact that it's a gift and that there's no guarantee that it's always going to be there. And so I ended last week by just talking about, I think, our need to hold things loosely, to be grateful day by day for what we have. But today we're going to move a little further along in our story, and I want to get to kind of the moments right in the midst of the exile happening, right as the exile was beginning. You see, the exile wasn't like a singular event. In fact, scholars think that there were at least three different exiles that happened over time, each one getting progressively worse. So I'll give you just a little bit of the history, and I'm going to show it to you at the bottom of your screen, but it kind of started in 605. The Babylonian Empire conquered Egypt, and they went next to Jerusalem, or Judah was what the kingdom was called, and Jerusalem had to begin paying them tribute. So this was kind of the first time they fell under the Babylonian power. And the Babylonians exiled a few of the noble people at that time. That was in 605. Then a few years go by, and in 597, Judah revolts, and Babylon has to come back, and they lay siege to the city. They defeat Judah, and they exile the king. So they take the king into exile. set up a different king, and life goes on. And then finally in 587, Judah revolts again, and the Babylonians had it this time. They laid siege to the city, but they took the city. They tore down the walls. They destroyed the temple in the middle of Jerusalem, and they exiled a bunch of the people out of that city to live in Babylon. But there's like this period between that first exile in 605, but things hadn't gotten bad yet. I mean, it was this period sort of in between. I call it kind of a liminal space, and liminal is just a fancy word for in between. But it's that time when the Israelites knew that there was a challenge at hand, that they were facing something really serious, that this was a disruption. And the story I want to read today is a story that comes from that period, that in-between time. And it's really the story of two voices. And we hear these two voices in two prophets that we're going to meet. And prophets in the Old Testament were really those that kind of spoke truth to power. They brought a word to the people about what God was doing or what God was going to do. And more often than not, the prophets were trying to get the people to respond to what was occurring. And so today, in today's story, we meet two prophets. And these two prophets really represent sort of two ways of approaching the hard reality that was right in front of them. The first prophet is Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a major figure in the Old Testament. In fact, for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be talking about Jeremiah because his ministry really spans the exile. He was there before it happened, while it was happening, and even after it was happening. So we're going to be reading a lot of Jeremiah. But in this story, he has a main competitor at the time, a different prophet named Hananiah. And if Jeremiah was sort of the voice of reason, that voice of needing to face the hard realities, Hananiah was more of the optimistic voice, a voice saying, hey, things are going to be fine. So I want to pick up in Jeremiah chapter 28. This is a book in the Old Testament. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to grab it, to pull it out. And I want you to hear first Hananiah. This is what Hananiah said to the people. And just as a little setup, you can kind of imagine, like, they're both in Jerusalem. This is almost like a duel. Think Hamilton without weapons, but instead with words. Like, they are each prophesying against each other to the people. So first, Hananiah. And this is what Hananiah had to say. This is Jeremiah 28, verse 2. It says, he said, the Lord of heavenly forces, the God of Israel, proclaims, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. In 2 years, I will restore to this place all of the temple equipment that Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar carted off. I will also restore to this place Judah's king, Jeconiah, Jehoiakim's son, along with all the exiles from Judah who were deported to Babylon. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon, declares the Lord. Okay, so you kind of get a sense. Hananiah here is saying, like, look, things are not that bad. This is almost over. In fact, the king of Babylon has already been defeated. Pretty soon, all the people are going to come back. The king is going to come back. All the stuff that was stolen out of the temple, that's going to come back. Things are getting back to normal anytime now. It's not so bad. Don't worry. And you can kind of see why Hananiah was popular. I mean, this is exactly what people wanted to believe. But then there was Jeremiah, and I want you to listen to kind of the difference in Jeremiah's prophecy. I'm going to start in verse 6. This is what Jeremiah has to say. It says, the prophet Jeremiah said, indeed, may the Lord do just as you have said. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back from Babylon the equipment of the Lord's temple and all the exiles to this place. However, listen closely to what I have to say to you and to all the people. The prophets who came before you and me long ago prophesied war and disaster and disease against many of the lands and great kingdoms. And then Jeremiah kind of goes on to say, I wish it was going to be that good, but actually we have some serious things that we are facing and we need to confront them and respond. And then he ends it this way. This is verse 15. It says, the prophet Jeremiah said to the prophet Hananiah, listen, Hananiah, the Lord hasn't sent you. All you are doing is persuading these people to believe a lie. I mean, here we have Jeremiah kind of representing that opposite end of the tension. He's saying, look, I want to be optimistic too. I want to believe this is no big deal. I want to believe that everything's going to be fine, but that's not what's happening. And to ignore this is dangerous. What we need to do is actually accept that we're in trouble, to accept that there's a problem, to accept that there's some brutal truths that we need to pay attention to. We need to accept those things because authentic hope doesn't come from denying reality, but from accepting it. I mean, Jeremiah was really saying something that so many of us know, although we don't often want to believe it, that ignoring hard realities doesn't make them go away. But the only way around disruption is through it. I mean, that's really what Jeremiah was trying to say to the people. And I've been thinking about these competing voices because I think we're in a time in our lives now where those same voices are out in our world on the national stage. We have these same conversations. Even inside my own head, I have these two competing voices. Everything's going to be fine. Or, hey, Matt, it's time to accept some challenges that are right here in your face. You know, I've been thinking about this on a much smaller scale. So think about something like relationships. I mean, we see, I think, this tendency or this tension all the time. I work with a lot of couples who are struggling in their marriage, as you might expect. And COVID, the past 6 months, has been really hard on marriages that were struggling. It's like the added stress of COVID, and if you have kids, online schooling and all this, it's been really tough on relationships. And so there's, I think, a lot of couples who are finding that they struggle. But I know this, that when you're beginning to struggle, like in a marriage or in a relationship, it's really easy at the beginning to say, you know, it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. This is a blip in the radar, a bump in the road. All couples go through this. And you keep going, and things are getting worse, but you're not wanting to believe that it's that bad. This is normal. And then all of a sudden, by the time you admit that there's a problem, by the time couples come to me or go to a counselor, it's like their marriage is on the last leg, like they're almost filing for divorce. It's like if we could have admitted that there was a problem sooner, then the disruption wouldn't have to be as great. If we could admit there's challenges sooner, that actually would lead us to get help. But so often, we don't want to believe that there's a problem. And by denying that reality, we only make the coming disruption that much more worse. And I see this in a lot of areas of our life, we do this. I mean, we do this sometimes when it comes to our financial life and the trouble that we're getting into there. Sometimes when it comes to our mental health or our physical health, we know there's challenges, but we don't want to believe that it's there. We do it sometimes with problems that we see, like in our town or school or neighborhood or even in our world. You know, we want to be optimistic. We want to believe that it's no big deal. But here's the thing. Optimism divorced from reality is not hope. I mean, optimism divorced from reality is not hope. The longer we ignore, the greater the disruption. We have a strong tendency to want to believe everything is fine, but what Jeremiah is saying is no. Authentic hope is rooted in reality, not denial. And that's a hard word, I think, to hear at first. I mean, I see this playing out not just in our lives, but I mean, look at our national stage right now. I have to admit, I wrote this sermon before the events of the past couple of weeks, but you look around at what's happening in our world, and we face some serious challenges. I mean, we face serious challenges of climate change and the wildfires that rage in the West. We face serious challenges when it comes to racial injustice in cities all over our country. We're facing serious challenges when it comes to violence in so many places. We're facing serious challenges in this pandemic. And yet, when you look out at the voices, we see Hananiah and we see Jeremiah in our own time. We see those voices that say, this is no big deal. There's not a big problem. You know, don't worry about it. Things are going to be fine. Stay optimistic. Don't panic. And then there's other voices saying, no, we need to pay attention to this stuff. There are problems that we are facing. And the sooner that we can accept that we're facing some hard realities, the sooner we can begin to move through them to a place of hope. You see, that's what Jeremiah, I think, was trying to do. Jeremiah wasn't trying to be a downer. He wasn't trying to be the pessimist. He wasn't trying to, you know, throw cold water on the hopes of the people. But Jeremiah was giving the people a word of warning that it was time to confront some of the realities that were before them in their life and in their life together. That there was a looming problem. But in that word of warning, I think, was also the seeds of authentic hope. Not a fake hope of optimism, but the authentic hope that says, if you're willing to face the things that are present in your life, God will get you through them to the other side. And that's why I think that authentic hope is rooted in reality, not in denial. Friends, I think the same thing is true for you and for me. That right now, there are a lot of disruptions in our life. There are a lot of challenges. Some of them are on the very personal level, with things that are going on within us or within our relationships. Certainly on the national stage, we're all experiencing collective disruptions in our life. But I don't think the fake hope of optimism is what we need right now. It's not the best way to live through these times. In fact, the longer we ignore, the greater the disruptions often get. But authentic hope begins as we accept and face the hard realities of our life, whether they're the collective realities or just the ones in our personal lives. And the sooner we do this, I think the better the future will be. I think that's true for me. I think it's true for you. I think it's true for our country. That authentic hope is rooted in reality, not in denial. That authentic hope faces challenges, trusting that God will get us through them. So I just want to close, you know, with this. I can't help, as I preach this, to remember the New Testament. And to remember the life of Jesus, and to remember that as Jesus was beginning to make his way towards Jerusalem, he told his disciples, like, look, I need to go to Jerusalem, and there I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to be executed on a cross, and I'm going to die. And his disciples were like, no way, Jesus, this can't be. Let's not go to Jerusalem. Let's avoid that. Let's go a different direction. Like, this can't be the way. But Jesus went right into Jerusalem knowing that there were some brutal realities that he was going to have to face there. But Jesus set his face towards that. He suffered, he endured the cross, and on the other side was resurrection, was life. And in that model, he showed us what would be true for our lives, that on the other side of disruption is life. That the path to authentic life, the path to authentic hope, isn't around disruption, but through it. And so today, I want you to trust that as you accept and begin to deal with the challenges in your own life, that as you do that, there is a God who will get you through to the other side. The only way around disruptions is through them. And there's hope, authentic hope in that. Let's pray. God, I know that today there is someone experienced just a significant challenge in their life. Maybe it is marriage, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's finances, maybe it's relationships with others, maybe it's just the realities of the world that we are trying to ignore, but today we need to just accept, we need to face. Like Jesus turned his face towards Jerusalem, God, I pray that today you would help us turn our face towards some of the hard realities that we've maybe been ignoring. And God, as we do that, I just pray that you would begin to work in our life, that the first step toward healing is this acceptance to stop the denial. Let us trust you enough to face the disruptions in our life head on, knowing that there is hope on the other side. And as we do this, may the grace of Christ be present in our life. to get us through those moments when we don't feel like our strength is enough. We pray that you would give us that willingness, that disposition today to face whatever it is that we've been ignoring. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in, listening to today's message. Don't forget you can connect 314-451-2090. Just text your name and we'll make sure to connect with you. Also, if you want to support the ministry of The Gathering financially, I hope you'll consider giving. You can give on our website, that's gatheringnow.org, or through our app. And to find our app, you can just search Gathering STL in any app store. Help us get the word out. Don't forget to like this, subscribe. You can review us. Also, just share this message with anyone that you think might benefit from hearing it. And now as you go, let me just offer you a blessing. As you go today, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit fill your life today and the days ahead. Go in power and peace. Amen.